This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Very happy to be joined here in the studio by one of our producers. Nelson is here.
Yeah, baby.
How you doing, Nelson?
Feeling much better. Happy to be back and around the office.
This is crazy. So we were, after Labor Day, we were in Hamilton doing our show live from Hamilton. Nelson was in the studio for us back in London, Ontario, making sure that the Y108 feed got on the air on FM 96. And we got back to London the Wednesday afternoon. And we found out Thursday morning that you had been in a bad bike accident. You've been cycling, getting ready for a triathlon, right?
Yep, that's it.
And you're doing some riding out in the country, and what happened to you?
Yeah, so it was the Wednesday night. It was only about like 6 p.m., and I was just kind of, the triathlon was that weekend, the Sunday, so it was kind of like my last sort of training session before the triathlon. It was just a nice, light, easy ride, nothing hard, nothing crazy or anything. So
Just outside
London in the country where I like to bike because it's, quote unquote, safer and quieter out there. And I was just kind of riding along and I was hit by a car kind of from behind where the car hit my back tire and basically sent me flying over my handlebars sort of to my right side a bit where I went like head first into the concrete. Face planted basically.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a gruesome picture to paint, but the only like kind of conscious part I remember of it was just my face kind of dragging along the concrete. And then I kind of just blacked out from there. I just kind of remember like kind of sort of just being a little bit disillusioned too. When I sort of rolled over and sat up, I was like, did that really just happen to me? Like, and I remember just looking over at my right arm and it was another gruesome picture to paint here, but my elbow was bent the way that your elbow is not supposed to bend.
That's the worst. Jim, you know, we watch like sporting injuries. You'll always try and show me the videos where like UFC fighters snap their legs or
any sort of hyperextension if
basketball.
It bends in the wrong way.
When it goes the wrong. So your arm is bent in the wrong.
Yeah, the UFC comparison, like whenever you see a guy like with an arm bar hyperextended, and that's pretty much how my arm looked when I sat up and looked over it. And I just remember thinking like, I just looked away immediately, like kind of sort of in denial still of what had just happened.
Like if you didn't look at it, it wasn't real.
Exactly. I literally looked away.
It was a dream.
I looked away and I just kind of...
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Thankfully, like, there's not really a whole lot of cars out there either, you know?
This is the crazy part of the story. The car that hit you, there's no way they didn't know they hit you, correct?
Oh, you would have seen me fly like 5 or 6 feet off my bike in front
of
you.
They didn't stop.
They did not stop. And I was kind of, like I said, I kind of blacked out a bit. Not that I was like unconscious or anything. It was just kind of like shock or something. And like I said, there's not a whole lot of cars out there, and that's why a lot of people bike out there just because it's safer and quieter. And then so it was like probably another minute before another car came down the road and
saw you literally lying
kind of just like, I don't know, like how to like paint the picture. Just I was still like just like kind of like
out of
did
it.
That really happen? And then thankfully I didn't even get this couple's name that stopped because they just kind of rushed me in an ambulance. But I'd loved if that was you and you somehow get in touch with it, I'd love to just thank you for pulling over and being a good Samaritan.
Okay, it was me, Nelson.
Yeah.
I'll take the credit.
But isn't that insane that you could hit somebody on a bicycle and not stop to check if they are okay? When you hear that, when you hear about these hit and runs, you think of two things. I either think they're on their cell phone texting,
mm-hmm.
or I think they're drunk and they don't want to stop because they're going to get charged with a DUI.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two assumptions that I always make. Or you're just a completely selfish idiot.
Yeah. I remember when I first got to see my parents when they came, that was the two exact things my dad said as well. He's like, you know, it's just absolutely insane that like, you know, that you could drive away not knowing if that person's even alive, let mm-hmm. alone or unconscious. And, you know, I think the luckiest thing for that person is that I am alive. You know what
so
I mean?
Are yeah. the police looking for them or?
There's a investigation in case going on. I won't get into details about it, but eventually she did call in the next day, over a day later, actually. I don't know if guilt got to her or if it was one of those reasons.
So
they
know who it is now.
Yeah, there's like an ongoing case and everything, and then she did call in. But like I said, like, what if I was just dead there, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's
almost like they waited for the news and say, okay, there's no dead body. Okay, I won't get charged with manslaughter. Now I'll call
in.
Perhaps.
What if her stopping would have made the difference that would have saved your life.
True, yeah.
Completely. Like, you know, like I said, I went head first, and if I wasn't wearing a helmet, like, I'm, like, you know, I was talking to doctors, like, because my helmet was completely kind of dented in on my right side forehead, and I would easily be either dead or completely brain damaged.
We're talking to one of our producers, Nelson, who was riding his bike. He got hit by a car that took off, hit and run accident. I got to say, the picture I saw initially of your face, you looked like Two-Face from Batman. Like, it was bad, but I don't know what kind of magic they used here. It's looking way better. I don't know how they treat that sort of thing, but
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. Two-Face is like exactly what I would describe it as. The road rash I had all along my side of my right, my whole right face and my right, sort of my front thigh and my shoulder. It was pretty gruesome. It looked pretty much like Two-Face, but, you know, once I got discharged from the hospital, thankfully, you know, my parents came down and stuff, and you know, instead of having to wait a couple, 2 to 3 weeks, Ontario Healthcare, I just went to a private, like, skin doctor who's kind of a specialist in burns. And I remember just going in being like, hey, like, I'm sorry, I know it's bad. Like, whatever you can do to clean it up. Not that I'm super vain about my looks, but it was really kind of distracting.
Yeah. And you just don't know
at
that point.
And also it was on my neck, too. And so...
And you have a great neck to begin with. You don't want to ruin that thing.
it's pretty good. And I don't have a lot of facial hair to cover these burns.
You can't grow a great
beard.
Can't
grow a beard over it. So, but yeah, shout out to the Doctor Who in Burlington, Ontario. You know, she's seen more worse burns than I have. So when I was kind of shocked at how confident she was when I first went in there. But, you know, she's seen much worse stuff than this. And she was able to kind of clean it up and resurface it and do a lot of really good work to the point where, like, I wanted to hug her after I looked at myself in the mirror afterwards.
Wow.
And very cool name. Doctor Who?
Doctor Who.
That's H-O-O.
Literally a miracle worker. Like, yeah. We're not going to post the before and after, but it's quite amazing.
Yeah, the after is way better than the before. That's for sure. Well, thank you to Doctor Who. Thank you to all the healthcare workers mm-hmm. that helped you through this. What, you got a shattered elbow and a broken arm?
Yeah,
as well,
so
right?
On top of that, my arm was broken, and obviously when my elbow was bent the other way, they had to reset it. And I do want to thank all the staff at the hospital. Like, you know, our healthcare system gets under fire quite a bit, but the staff working at the hospitals are absolutely amazing. Like, the nurses, the doctors, even just the whole staff working there are incredible.
Well, we wanted to share Nelson's story just to remind you. Without that helmet on, you'd probably be dead right now.
Yeah. Oh, and the one doctor, that he was a cyclist, he says, you know, he sees lots of people with bike accidents like every day pretty much. And he's like, the people with helmets are like make full recoveries, and the people that don't have lifelong, you know, injuries and stuff. So
yeah, and I know there was another accident in London, Ontario earlier this week where a cyclist was hit, a young guy not far off from your age, mm-hmm. and he was killed. And again, that was a hit and run. Just a, you know, a reminder to cyclists and to drivers, you're sharing the road. Don't get aggressive with cyclists. Cyclists, remember, you're not a car. You guys got to share the road and you got to work together, man, because nobody wants to be involved in an accident like this. But if you're on a bike, man, your chances of winning that fight
very
are not
slim.
Good.
Especially like, you know, like bikes weigh, you know, the bike I was on like doesn't even weigh 20 pounds. So like it doesn't take much. And also, it doesn't take much to the gravity of just falling off a bike if you were standing still or like sitting still is enough to like do enough brain damage to you for, you know, long term effects.
How's the bike doing?
The back wheel was completely bent and kind of the rim was out of shape. But I mean, I took the brunt of all
of it. The bike shop.
Honestly, my dad was looking at the bike. He's like, honestly, other than the back wheel, like it looks pretty fine.
Well, if you're a bike repair person, you want to help Nelson out, give us a call here at the station. Yeah. We're glad you're okay, buddy. Yeah. And yeah, if you are riding a bike, make sure you're safe. Wear those helmets. If you're driving a car, respect the cyclists on the road. Good to have you back at the station, buddy.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Beyond Meat's COO almost bit a guy's nose off. So the chief executive officer of the company Beyond Meat almost bit off a guy's nose.
Wow. Nose cartilage, the forbidden meat.
In fairness, that is beyond meat.
True.
Nose, human nose, next level.
It's like when you don't eat meat for so long, you're jonesing for any type of flesh. Ah, I need anything.
Like the cartoon characters when they're staring at somebody and they're so hungry that they turn into a chicken drumstick with eyeballs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, that they start hallucinating.
Pork rind for sure.
So the guy's name is Doug Ramsey. He's 53. He's been the COO at Beyond Meat for 10 months now. Saturday night, he was at a college football game, Arkansas-Missouri State, when a car cut him off in line, made contact with the front right tire of his Ford Bronco, sending him into a rage. Got out of his Bronco, walked up to the person's Subaru, punched through the back windshield.
Holy.
It's like the Terminator. The other driver got out. They started fighting. Then, according to police, Doug bit the guy's nose, ripping the flesh off the tip.
Jeez, man.
Witnesses also say he threatened to kill him.
What is up with people driving Ford Broncos trying to kill people?
This guy needs a hamburger.
Yeah.
Like, relax,
calm
dude.
Calm down.
He has been arrested, third-degree battery, making terroristic threats.
Terroristic threats. Holy cow, man. This guy must have been on something or just on the next level of road rage at that point. To, like, bite a man's nose, you must be... I don't know this guy's personality, but, like, you're either a psycho to begin with or you're seeing absolute red, you know?
He reached his breaking point.
Maybe. The guy did clip him.
I wonder, like, does it... If you get the tip of the nose off, is it squirting? Like, I'm picturing... Dan Aykroyd when he was Julia Child on Saturday Night Live and he cuts the finger off and the blood's just squirting out of the finger.
Yeah.
You think?
Or would it be like a Red Skull from Captain America and it's just the nose is gone and you can like see into the head?
I hope to never find out, to be honest. Beyond Meat COO. You got to go for a vegetarian option if you're this guy. Like, bite the nose off of a snowman.
Yeah.
Carotene, you know, helps you see in the dark.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
I thought this was just an urban legend. Growing up in the 90s, you know, grunge was a pretty big deal back then, Jim.
Mm-hmm. I was kind of around.
Grunge music. Yeah, you're a youngster. When I was in high school, with there was times where I wore three different plaid shirts to school. That's how into grunge I was.
At the same time?
One around your waist, two on your torso, you know?
That's like a magic eye thing from the newspaper when you look at it.
Yeah. You have three pairs of ripped jeans on, big old boots. It was a contest to see who could be the grungiest back in the 90s.
Or the sweatiest.
And who thought Mariah Carey wanted to be in the running? Pop darling, the sugar pop princess, Mariah Carey. There was a rumor that she had recorded a grunge album. We now know those rumors are true. So apparently what happened, Mariah Carey, this is like right when she was like,
Heartbreaker.
Yeah, da, da, da. You know, the big jams that she was putting out in the 90s on the pop charts, she decided to get experimental, collaborated with some folks, and she recorded a grunge album inspired by bands like Garbage and Hole. She was really into that stuff. And the record company said, there is absolutely no way we are going to release this and mess with what they had, the winning recipe for her to be a diva on the pop charts. So they said, we're not releasing this album. What she did is she ended up giving it to one of her collaborators, and they recorded it under the band name Chick. So this is not Mariah Carey singing lead vocals, but this is an idea of what her grunge album would have sounded like. What's that one called, Jim?
That one's called Malibu or Malibu Barbie. I mean, it sounds all right for whoever covered it. There's her friend, I guess, Clarissa Dane is the one who did the lead vocals and was the front woman of that band.
Chick was the name of them. Here's another. This is another Mariah Carey grunge song. Very Hole-esque. Pretty Mary Sunshine kind of sounds like that kind of.
This is called Demented.
Again, it sounds like a female-led grunge band from the 90s.
I just realized the album was called Someone's Ugly Daughter. And it's funny, Mariah Carey, one of the most beautiful women of the 90s. If she's doing grunge, it has to be depressing, so she's got to call it something dark.
Well, it can be a reference to more than just the physical, Jim.
Oh, but she's beautiful on the inside. I'm a big Mariah Carey fan. I got to be honest.
What was the video where she was on the jet skis and she had the bathing suit with the zipper on it?
Oh, that was, early 2000s. I can't remember.
Was
but
that Heartbreaker?
We Belong Together? No, that was it.
We Belong Together.
Heartbreaker was in the movie theater when she was spying on her ex or something like that.
Yeah, those videos were something else when you're a teenage boy. So Mariah Carey has found the originals. And she says now she's going to release, the record company can't do anything about it, she is going to release her grunge album. Finally, after decades, Mariah Carey's grunge album will see the light of day.
I can't wait. I'm also pumped for Dave Grohl's R&B album, which is coming up.
Yeah, that's right. Alice in Chains. Sing Motown's greatest hits.
Peacock.
I want to see you.
Peacock. Peacock. You peacock. You're peacock. You're peacock. You're peacock. Are you brave enough to let me see your peacock?
Time for sports. Our sports guy, Devin Peacock, is here. And a double whammy with Monday Night Football last night, Dev. Geez, your Buffalo Bills sure know how to play football.
They played great, and they started early. It's like they wanted me to see as much of the game as possible. It was fantastic. 7:15 start on a Monday. I'll take it.
Did you watch the whole game?
I watched up until once they started to pull away in the third quarter. That's my move in terms of going to bed. Like, if they're going to blow this, I don't want to watch. I'm going to go to bed knowing they're up way big, and I don't want to see any potential collapse. Of course, there wasn't a collapse because they dominated.
When I went to sleep, they were in the 40s. 41-7, I think, was the score when I fell asleep.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee was not in this whatsoever. They got to 7-7 at one point. It looked like they might give them a game. And then in the third quarter, Buffalo outscored Tennessee 24-0. And that was the ball game. They turned the ball over. They contained Derrick Henry. And Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs was borderline unstoppable for Buffalo. Tennessee did not have an answer for that. Diggs had 3 touchdowns last night. They were looking like they were in midseason form.
So a couple Bills mafioso like you, Jim, and you, Dev, you must be pretty optimistic moving forward.
I think it didn't take this game to do that. They were already heavy favorites going into this season. So this is just par for the course and what's to be expected. But I'm going to keep gambling on them every week and see how this is going because it worked last night.
Oh, you got some cash down here.
I got $100 on them next Monday. Next Sunday.
Oh, is this the game you accidentally
this is the one
bet
I,
on?
No, that next week is the one I accidentally bet on. So I put $80 down on this game, and it barely paid anything because they were such heavy favorites. But I did win it. And I'm crushing my DraftKings right now, guys. So, Buffalo, thank you.
Buffalo is on the road in Miami. They are 5-point favorites right now for next week. I still would. I mean, you got to go with the Bills until they prove you otherwise. Miami's looking good this year. They had a great week last week. Tua's looking good. But I will believe the Dolphins can stop the Bills when they actually do it. The Bills actually punted last night. They've barely punted in the past couple of games, even going back to last season. And when they punted, the Titans dropped the punt and they got the ball back. So they should almost punt more often because it winds up with them in a scoring position.
And Jalen Hurts, the Eagles quarterback, was on fire last night. They beat the Minnesota Vikings pretty good.
They looked great. Jalen Hurts might have had one of the best games of his career. I don't follow the Eagles game in, game out, but I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a better game than the one he had last night for Philadelphia against Minnesota. He's looking to establish himself as the guy in Philadelphia with A.J. Brown now on the roster, previously of Tennessee. Looks like he has his target, and he has an extra boost of confidence that could really elevate them in the NFC East. Cocoon!
Welcome to the Singing Bee!
Yes! Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, over in England, put on quite the show in the lobby of the Savoy Hotel. There is a pianist from Quebec that was accompanying the Prime Minister to the Queen's funeral, and they saw the piano, and they just couldn't resist Jim. Yeah. Looks like such a dweeb. Whether you're pro-Trudeau or not, you got to admit, it looks like a nerd.
It's ridiculous. Give your head a shake, dude.
Okay. We are going to get Taz and Jim listeners to sing in the style of Justin Trudeau a little Queen Bohemian Rhapsody. Well, we'll try Nancy here in Port Dover. You ready, Nancy?
Yes, I am. To me, Mama just killed a man, put a gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead.
Get it.
Mama, life had just begun.
Yes, Nancy.
I
think we got
pretty good.
Front runner so far, Nancy. This is our final contestant here. We've got, come on, Elmer is calling from Elmer, Ontario.
Yeah.
Elmer from Elmer. Okay.
The only one, man.
Let's play the clip here. When the music stops, keep singing like Justin Trudeau.
Mama just killed a man, put a gun against his head, pull my trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life had just begun, but now I've gonna throw it all away. Mama, didn't mean to make you cry. If I'm not back again this time tomorrow, carry on, as if nothing really matters.
Elmer for Prime Minister!
Send that guy to England!
I think that's our winner. You definitely, more you sang, the more you got into it there.
I didn't think anybody could feel themselves more than Justin Trudeau singing that song, but you did it.
Yeah, it wasn't quite drama teachery enough, but it was, you had the passion. Elmer, congratulations. You are in the big jackpot draw, $70 million Lotto Max tonight, and you're going to see Iron Maiden, buddy, in Hamilton.
Anything for Maiden ticket, anything.
Yeah, baby.
4 hours here if you want.
Same prize tomorrow if you want another chance to win. Bohemian Rhapsody is ruined for us. I don't think, after all Mike Myers did as a Canadian for that song.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Trudeau comes in and he just eliminates any goodwill we had done towards Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody as a country.
Peacock.
I want to see you.
Peacock. Peacock. You're peacock. You're peacock. You're peacock. You're peacock.
Are you brave enough to let me see your peacock?
We're talking sports with Taz and Jim sports guy Devin Peacock. There he is. There's the guy. Dev, the NBA likes him barely legal.
What?
Hold on. Maybe not the best way to get into this segment. The eligibility age is possibly being lowered by the NBA.
Yes, since 2005, you've had to be at least 19 years old to be drafted into the NBA. That appears to change. So before then, you could be a high schooler, you could be 18 and be drafted into the NBA.
Yeah, because Kobe did.
Kobe did, LeBron did, yeah. Kevin Garnett did, and there are a lot of other guys who also did who did not work out in any way, shape, or form. And so they decided to change the rule about 17 years ago now, but they're going to bring it back because a lot has changed from then until now. Number one, you have some of these other development leagues that are signing players, and so they're not going the college route. They're going to play like, you know, G League, Ignite, and some other European leagues and everything. And so I think the NBA wants to try and keep these guys in-house. Not that they're going to pass over the NBA because the NBA is still the top league. There's no rival for them. But if guys are not going to go to college, because the rule states you have to be a year removed from high school, guys were going to college in some cases, but also taking other routes. So the NBA wants to bring this all in-house, keep all the prospects as close as possible to them. And just times have changed. I don't think you're going to have as many guys make the jump to high school that you had before when they clearly were not ready for the NBA.
Does this mean that LeBron and Bronny have a chance to play together on the same team sooner than we thought?
It does not. That was what everyone was wondering. Like, is LeBron James just pulling the strings?
Yeah, so they're going to retire 1 year earlier.
Right.
The CBA is going to have to be changed with this. And so the CBA ends at the end of the 2023 season. So 2024 is the first year that high schoolers could be drafted into the NBA. That's a year after Bronny goes to college. So it does not impact him. But what this does do is you could have a super draft in 2024. So all those teams that have been firing around first round picks to try and acquire stars who gave up their first round pick, they could be missing out on a huge prospect because a mega draft is coming in the NBA in a couple of years.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Man, we have made some amazing advances when it comes to exploring outer space, up to the moon. You got the Mars stuff going on. There's a little mini helicopter on a robot on Mars right now that humans put there. And now they're sending one to Uranus.
Yes, of course.
It is a probe that is going to Uranus. Now, is it NASA behind this thing?
Well, NASA, their next goal is to go to Uranus. And they haven't designed the probe. They haven't came up with the mission plan yet. But they have said this is the next goal, to go to Uranus or one of the moons of Uranus. Stop looking at with me with such delight.
No, listen. I know it takes some restraint to have an adult conversation about this topic.
Yes.
But they're looking for a name for the probe that they will be sending to that planet. And I don't know if this was a smart decision, but they asked the internet for help.
Yes. And there was one social media site that all like the space people love. It's called Explore IGO, and it got the ball rolling here. What should we name the probe that's going to Uranus? And sure enough, the name started rolling
the
in.
The suggestions.
Started,
what do we got?
The Wandering Finger is one of them. And on that note, Mission Colonoscopy is another one. I like this one. This is like collective, like, you know, this is a move for humanity. Our anus. Not your anus. This is our anus.
It's one small step for my anus.
One giant leap for our anus. And it's kind of clever because you only put an O at the front of it and it's our anus, right?
Yeah, one extra letter.
Yeah. We got the Pegasus.
Pegasus. Yeah,
which looks better written out. The Charmin. The Deep Dive. And then we also have some, you know, pretty professional sounding ones here, like Advanced New Uranus Space Mission, better known as ANUS. They also have the Better Uranus Telemetry Tracking System, also known as BUTS. How about this
one? The acronyms are rolling in here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Research Education Charging Towards Uranus Mission, better known as RECTUM.
It would be great if they named the probe Rectum, and then there was an incident, like an Apollo 13-style incident, where astronauts on board almost lost their lives, and then when they got back to Earth, they could say, Rectum, damn near killed them.
And I could die a happy man.
And all dads would instantly die happy.
Ah, I'm so happy.
I'm glad I lived to see the day. Wrecked him. Damn near killed him.
That's a good one. That's the best ones. I mean, they're still rolling in here. The suppository, you know. That's
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
What is it with people in Vancouver and rioting? Man, remember years back when the Canucks did not win the Stanley Cup and fans had a little bit of an issue with that?
Mm-hmm. Almost burnt down the city, but at least two young people made out on a street. So it was all good.
Iconic photo. Iconic photo. There was a riot last night in British Columbia. What was the cause, Jim?
There was a show / festival, and the headliner, Lil Baby.
Lil Baby was playing? Yeah.
There's far too many Lils in the rap world, by the way. It's hard to keep track. But Lil Baby was supposed to play, and then at 9:30 p.m., he's about to go on stage. Canceled. Says, oh, sorry, Lil Baby is sick. He can't do the show tonight. So there was about 8,000 people waiting there to see the show. And police say about 7,000 left. The other 1,000 did not leave. And witnesses are saying that they heard people in the crowd say, quote, let's start a riot. And indeed they did. One guy started kicking.
Always good to announce your intentions.
Yes. Hear ye, we shall begin ye riot. One guy started kicking a beer vending machine. Other people started climbing up tents. There's a picture of a guy like on top of a tent right now that's going viral. He's holding onto the pole. Kind of looks like he's in Assassin's Creed or something like that. Or
they're calling him Donkey Kong.
Yeah, King Kong or something like that because he's up there. Neighbors reported hearing dozens of police cars racing towards the scene around 10 p.m. Several hundred people involved with fighting, property destruction at the amphitheater and surrounding neighborhood. They were kicking over garbage bins. There was food vendors waiting for people to come out after the show. They got tipped over. They got destroyed. Lampposts knocked down. And people were chanting, I want my $400 back. Because rightfully so, you would be super angry if you spent all that money, mostly to see the headliner, and right before he goes on stage, they tell you he's not coming?
I want my $400 back. I'm going to need it to hire a lawyer. Because all of this is on camera.
In for a penny, in for a pound. Let's make it worth it.
It is. The judge will now hear the case of Donkey Kong
versus the Greater Vancouver area.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, especially since I thought Vancouver was supposed to be laid back. You know, they have the reputation of being chill and and calm, but they're rioting more than other places in the country.
And everybody always says Toronto. Oh, the Leafs lose. Toronto's going to riot. I don't think so. And same with Montreal, too. Vancouver, Montreal, they claim to be the classiest, most advanced, most progressive places in Canada. But when things don't go their ways, over goes the hot dog cart.
The Leafs are so used to it. Right? Leaf fans are...
We'd riot if we won. We'd be so confused.
That's where I'd be concerned. If the Leafs ended up winning a Stanley Cup, then they tipped the CN Tower over.
Oh, right into Lake Ontario.
Or imagine Donkey Kong at the top of that thing.
Amazing.
Hanging on by one hand. Iconic photo.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
I had my kids start swimming lessons yesterday, Jim.
A little late in the season, but must be indoor swimming lessons? Outdoor? What's going on?
Of course indoor, yeah.
Okay.
And it was a real walk down memory lane. They're taking their swimming lessons at the London Aquatic Center, the Canada Games London Aquatic Center, which was my very first place of employment as a young man.
How's it holding up without the Tasman custodian there?
Yeah, building attendant, first of all.
What's the difference?
Well,
more keys?
A building attendant is not a custodian. They do completely different things.
Did you clean things?
Okay, maybe it's close. So, yeah, I walked in there. Just the smell of the place brought me right back. And then my brother's son, my nephew, Will, is lifeguarding there, just like his dad used to do. Huh. So it was, and they kind of looked the same. It was just an odd moment all around. Really reminded me how old I've gotten.
Yeah.
But it's a big old pool. The kids did great. We were a little worried that we signed Grayson up for a level of swimming lesson that was outside of his capability. He was like all the other kids in his class. Him and his friend Joey are in the same swimming lesson class, and all the other kids were like a foot taller than them.
They're older? Like, they must be older.
They're older, yeah. Older kids.
What happened?
Just giants.
Well, do they still not do the thing where it's like red, yellow, blue, whatever the order is, or how does it work now?
There's descriptions. It's like, can your child do this, 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 and this? And we're fairly confident with Grayson's swimming ability, so we're like, yeah, he can handle that. But then you show up and you're like, oh boy, they're going right to the diving well here. This is pretty serious.
I thought it was like school where you had to start like in kindergarten and work your way up. Like you had to start in like blue and work your, however the heck
I
it
think
used to work.
This is before the color levels, right? To work your way up to getting your bronze cross and becoming a lifeguard. So this is like the pre that. So they just ask you, how good is your kid at swimming? We said pretty good.
Good enough.
But I was nervous, man, watching him swim. That's a deep, deep pool there. So to see him slide in there and start swimming across from one end to the other, I was a little concerned, but he made it.
Nice.
And then the instructor asked, do you want to swim back or do you want to walk back? And he said, swim back.
There you go.
That was pretty cute, and so was my little daughter in the shallow end with the life jacket on. It's funny I like the kids with the life jackets. When the life jacket floats up and it kind of squishes their face up, and
yeah, makes it's not
their
tight enough.
Cheeks look chubbier.
Yeah,
pretty cute. But
I'm a big fan of the flutter board as well. A little kid on a flutter board.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Hands outstretched in front of you,
and they can't really go straight. They're like going like a snake, like an S. Very cute.
Yeah, they got rid of the hot tub at the aquatic center. This was the bane of my existence when I was the building attendant there. Catching people in the hot tub doing things they shouldn't be doing in there, whether it was alone or with a partner.
Yeah. Oh, no. I don't know what's worse.
I was a teenager at the time, and for whatever reason, it was my responsibility to kick people out of there.
Oh, God. That's disgusting.
An authority figure at age 14, 15. Excuse me, you can't be doing that in there. You're going to have to leave.
I'm disturbed by almost every communal hot tub. Now, I'm sure there's a ton of chemicals and they're clean or whatever, but like even at a resort, it's like there's too many people. It's too warm. I don't trust it.
Yeah, you know what the building attendants will tell you at any public hot tub? Don't go in past your knees. Rule number one.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.